Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Monday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. Coming up this hour on the show, did we just watch the end of the 2015 NFL draft? Number one, Jameis Winston. Five INTs and a fumble. Marcus Mariota, number two of that draft. Yanked for Ryan Tannehill. We will discuss whether either one of those quarterbacks has a future left after yesterday, coming up here in about 17 minutes from now. But one thing you can count on me is that I am a man of integrity. I'm a man of dignity and affording others respect and that same dignity. And I made fun, poked fun, a lot of it, at the expense of the Minnesota Vikings quarterback, Kirk Cousins. I called Kirk Cousins the chicken nuggets of quarterbacking. I said that it's fine for a snack, okay for a lunch, but you're not eating chicken nuggets as an adult for dinner, and thus you can't win a Super Bowl with a guy who's chicken nuggets. I said I would prefer to have Kirk Cousins watch my fish while I was on vacation instead of being a quarterback of my football team. I have made fun of Kirk Cousins for days, weeks, months, even years. Because to me, Cousins is just frankly too nice. I mean, what, he's apologizing to Adam Thielen? He has to be worried and scared that everybody on his offense hates his guts. He wanted a cubicle in Washington so that he could sit there and pore over TPS reports instead of actually being in the locker room with his guys. That Kirk Cousins is more Ned Flanders than he is Joe Montana. I mean, he's more your accountant. He's more your tax insurance guy than he is Tom Brady. But Ned Flanders was angry yesterday. Ned Flanders got mad yesterday. Ned Flanders threw for 333 yards for a quarterback rating of 138.4 with not one, not two, not three, but four touchdowns against Philadelphia. Ned Flanders got angry yesterday.
Knock that off, you two. It's time for church. What? You give me one good reason. Oakley-dokley-do.
Cousins from under center. Straight drop. It's another deep shot. Diggs. Center of the field. Caught it on the run. 20-15-10. Touchdown! 62-yard touchdown.
Calm down, diddly-diddly-diddly-diddly-diddly. They did their best. Shoddly-iddly-iddly-diddly.
Cousins boots out to the left. He wants more. Deep. Inside the five, touchdown! Cousins is annihilating the Eagles.
Oh, okay, dude. I wouldn't want you to have a cow, man.
Cousins fade, Thielen, yes! Touchdown!
That's hostility, diddly, diddly, diddly. Ah, hell, diddly, ding, dong, crap! makes you morons do anything right.
Really pleased with our effort and the production we had. And the key is just to continue to string him together. And
the clown, the only one of you buffoons who doesn't make me laugh.
Ned Flanders got angry. And Ned Flanders got even. And yesterday, Ned Flanders surgically disassembled that Eagles defense. And Ned Flanders yesterday looked like a Super Bowl quarterback. I'm sitting there going, my God, overnight, Kirk Cousins has become a baller. Overnight, Kirk Cousins is throwing dimes. Overnight, Kirk Cousins got mad. And remember, his former teammate, Zach Brown Band, said that Cousins was the weak link when he was on his Washington team. Zach Brown, his former teammate, said we want Kirk Cousins to throw the ball. And here was Kirk Cousins looking at a former teammate that called him out last week and just firing seeds. Stephon Diggs for 50. Stephon Diggs for 60. Adam Thielen, corner of the end zone. He couldn't be stopped. My God, there's actually a human being inside the accountant. Ned Flanders has a soul. He's got fight. He's got what it takes. He gets angry. He wants revenge. And after the game, he said, I didn't even know. I had no idea that Zach Brown said this. It's the first time hearing of it. Yeah, right. Ned Flanders took that this past week and used it to just flame, absolutely torch Brown and the Eagles. And Zach Brown after the game saying, I'm not going to answer any more questions about Kirk Cousins. Humiliated. Humiliated. I have to say, that was one of my favorite moments of the NFL season. That Ned Flanders got his revenge. That Kirk Cousins could look like that. And you know what, Merez? Maybe the Vikings actually do have a chance at doing something. I always say those poor people in Minnesota because they have nothing to root for. They've been just killed time and time again. But if Ned Flanders looks like that, that Vikings team's really good.
They are really good when Ned looks like that. The problem is, D.A., you just can't trust him. You just can't after that.
You don't think we're going to see that again?
Yeah, no, because here's the deal. Going in, he was 5 and infinity all-time versus teams with winning records.
Yeah.
We've seen it 5 other times, so this was just the 6th time. I think he's going to look more like bad Ned Flanders come November and December, and all he's doing is setting up those poor people in Minnesota to think they have a chance again.
Okay, he looked great, though. You got to be honest.
Of course.
He looked great.
Isn't it amazing how all of a sudden Diggs, we're not hearing about not wanting to practice and wanting to get traded when he's catching dimes like that from Cousins? It was unbelievable.
It was incredible. It really is crazy that that's even more of the problem here, is that Cousins can look like that.
Yeah, but also, if you're an Eagle fan, how embarrassed are you that you seem to be the one team that Kirk Cousins actually owns?
He's got 6 wins over the Eagles.
That's pathetic. As an organization, honestly, that almost cancels out winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Heidely-ho, neighborinos!
He actually, he haunts the Eagles' dreams. He owns the Eagles. He has 6 wins.
Yeah, you can celebrate the Super Bowl all you want. You've lost to Kirk Cousins 6 times.
Okay, let's do the win-loss game here for the Minnesota Vikings.
Okay.
Right now, Minnesota's 4-2. At Detroit.
Loss.
Okay, 4-3. Home to Washington.
Win. Kirk Cousins' revenge game.
That's right.
Purple drapes. All my life I've wanted purple drapes.
They're 5-3 at the midway point. At Kansas City.
Loss.
Okay. At Dallas.
Oh, I'm going to say loss because Dallas figures it out.
Oh, gee. So you got them at 5-5 now. Home of the Broncos.
Win.
6-5. At Seattle.
Loss.
6-6. Home of the Lions.
Win.
7-6. At the Chargers.
Win.
8-6. Home of the Packers.
Loss.
8-7. Wrap up the season against the Bears at home.
Loss.
So the perfect Ned Flanders, Kirk Cousins record of 8-8 this year after a 5-3 start.
Sounds just about right for Ned and crew.
God said to Noah, build yourself an archy-yarchy.
Nice second half collapse, a little swoon for Kirk.
855-212-4CBS is the phone number. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. TJ tweets, yeah, but those were fourth and fifth string corners. Pump the brakes on Flanders. The Eagles have a ton of injuries. Yeah, let us have our fun, though. It is true. There's a lot of injuries for the Eagles.
Okay, they're beat up. The Eagles just beat the Packers 2 weeks ago with a lot of injuries.
Fair. But the Eagles might end up being a 7-9 team this season.
I can only hope.
And that means that win doesn't look all that great. The Dallas Cowboys yesterday have proven how fraudulent they are. And I will be the first to admit I was faked out. I was duped. I was duped the first 3 weeks. I see all of that talent. I see all of that talent executing. I see a 9-touchdown first 3 weeks for Dak Prescott. Not turning the football over. Not throwing INTs. I'm seeing the offense, even without a completely 100% in shape Ezekiel Elliott, running the football at will. And I'm saying this is the Cowboys team that it should have been, that we expected coming into the season. They are so talented, and they have spent so much money that the Dallas Cowboys should look like the Dallas Cowboys we saw in the first 3 weeks. And it just goes to show you that the Cowboys are fraudulent. Because when it's not the Dolphins, and it's not Washington, and it's not an Eli Manning-led Giants team, the Cowboys have got their ass beat. The Dallas Cowboys were owned by the Green Bay Packers through three quarters. They got punked by a Saints team that did not have Drew Brees and kicked four field goals. And then they needed a frantic comeback just to get back to try to tie a Jets team that did not have a win on the season. That is so embarrassing for Jason Garrett. That is so embarrassing for that organization. And the Cowboys yesterday proved that they're great front runners, but terrible in a real fight. You know, the Jets clearly have juice now with Sam Darnold back. And it's great to see because their season was going nowhere, obviously, fast without Darnold in there. But now actually having a real quarterback and Darnold's footwork and throws, I mean, that interception's terrible in the fourth quarter. It simply cannot happen. But he made so many other throws that really were so impressive that the Jets have something to finally feel good about. The Cowboys, on the flip side, have to ask themselves, are we a team that is simply going to beat up on inferior opponents? Or can we actually be a real-life playoff team and play real-life good teams and not turtle? Because I'm looking at Jason Garrett and an offense that used to seem like it's futuristic, used to seem like it's opened up, looking once again like the old, staid, boring, traditional, conservative offense, except for matters that make no sense, like Jason Garrett going for it on 4th-and-2 when he just got stuffed in the second quarter, late in the second quarter, instead of kicking the easy field goal, and then the Jets right after that going 90-plus yards for a touchdown. It's arrogance. It's idiocy out of Garrett. It's an offensive line that, with some injuries, isn't nearly as dominant. Dak was getting pummeled all game. And just a team that was outplayed. Outplayed. And that's 3 weeks in a row they have been outplayed, start to finish, against two playoff teams and the Jets. That is an alarm sounding over Jason Garrett's head. When we come back here on the show, wow, one of the worst days you could imagine for the top two picks of the 2015 NFL draft. Did we just watch the end? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's the DA Show, only on CBS Sports Radio.
20 seconds left to play. Winston to throw again. Throws to the end zone on the left side for Evans, and it's intercepted! It's the fifth interception of the day. This one reeled in by Bradberry. That's his second of the day.
It was just a bad game. You know, they're not back where they were. I'm just keep on playing, keep on getting better, and come back to work. When we play against the Tennessee Titans and be better, that's all. You just can't turn the football over and win football games in this league. And I know that, so that's it.
That's even, that's a W.
Westwood won on the call as Jameis Winston of the Bucks lose another one. And Jameis throws five interceptions in London in the loss to the Carolina Panthers, including a fumble as well. And what's amazing is that Jameis is talking about the Tennessee Titans coming up. And it's a little scary where those two quarterbacks are. Doing More brought to you by the Home Depot. Visit HomeDepot.com for details and flooring, appliances, bathroom, home improvements. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. Carlos Correa last night, the Astros shortstop, laying into one. He struggled, his timing was off, and yet last night when it mattered most, bottom 11, he hits his first home run of the postseason, walks it off in a 2-2 game, and that was all she wrote. That was a crucial game. Series was over if the Yankees walk out of Houston with both games, with three at home. It's a 2-3-2 format in this round in baseball's postseason, and so coming back for three games to the Bronx, down 0-2, Verlander having thrown last night would have been absolutely nightmarish, the end of the series. And yet they get the 1-1 win, and the Astros bullpen was excellent, shutting down the Yankees' bats in extras, and Correa pulls the iron out of the fire. He also is huge defensively as well, scooping up the ball, firing it home to nail DJ LeMahieu at the plate, which would have given the Yanks a lead. I'm bummed. I mean, not personally, because way worse things have happened to people in sports, but I'm bummed that both Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston stink, because I've always said this league is only as good as its 32 quarterbacks. You look up and down the NFL, there is a clear line of demarcation between the coaches that you would trust to win a Super Bowl and the ones you would not. And there's only like seven or eight coaches that you would trust. And then there's a middle tier that might get to the playoffs but will never win a Super Bowl. And then there's like 15 head coaches that are just pure dumpster fires. Just absolute clowns. Total bozos. And the same thing happens with quarterbacks. You guys know it. It's just not a league anymore that will allow the Brad Johnsons or Trent Dilfers to win Super Bowls. It's just not a league that allows that anymore. Jeff Hostetler is not going to work in this league anymore. You can't just bring in a backup quarterback, allow him to make a couple of plays, and manage it because the defense is going to strangle you to death. You can't run the football and play defense and hide the quarterback anymore. And so you're only as good as the 32 QBs. And the Titans and the Buccaneers have been looking for franchise quarterbacks forever. Forever. I mean, the Titans certainly since Steve McNair, and the Buccaneers since Doug Williams? I mean, think about it. I mean, I guess Dilfer's first go-round before the Ravens? I mean, he was kind of a bum and then became okay by the mid to late 90s with those Tony Dungy teams?
Jeff Garcia?
But I mean, he wasn't even originally a Buck. He was a Niner, so they didn't draft and develop him.
Oh, that's right. I was thinking that came before the Niner days. It was after.
I mean, Josh Freeman was a mess.
Forgot about Josh Freeman.
You know, Mike Glennon, a total mess.
Oh, you're admitting he's a mess by now, huh?
Yes. Unlike Richard Sherman, I can admit if I was wrong on something, I get new evidence, and then I can change my opinion. I mean, the Buccaneers have been searching for a franchise quarterback forever. And Jameis, they take number one overall. And he's been pretty bad. Now, to be fair, yesterday throwing five interceptions and the fumble in London had not been what he was the previous few weeks. Actually, the previous few weeks, he was much more careful with the football. But, you know, that's who Jameis is. Jameis is going to throw you out of games. He's going to try to be the hero, try to do too much, be careless, and it's just going to kill you. But Marcus Mariota, at least Jameis has some moments where you go, oh, okay, all right. Okay, I can kind of see that.
Oh, valid points.
Every so often you see Jameis Winston go, oh, okay, yeah, I could see it. I could see he's just got to cut down on bad decisions, cut down on interceptions, cut down on turnovers, cut down on carelessness. Marcus Mariota, there is nothing redeemable anymore. Yesterday, the Titans were shut out. It's virtually impossible to get shut out in today's NFL. Virtually impossible. They got shut out 16-0. Following a week where they scored 7 points. So this Titans team has scored one touchdown in eight quarters of football. They are 2-4. And Mariota is not just bad. He's humiliatingly bad. I mean, he's just throwing passes 9 yards over top of the receivers. They can't even convert a third down. It's like Mariota can't throw a pass more than 5 yards. And to be benched for Ryan Tannehill? Ryan Tannehill becomes the better option. And remember, the Titans have to make a decision on Mariota at the end of the season because he's up for an extension. Yesterday was so bad, and it's 2 weeks of so bad. And you love Mariota because he owns it. And he takes responsibility, and he doesn't shirk, and he doesn't sulk, and doesn't blame his receivers or get mad at his quarterback coach or get mad at his head coach. But he's so bad that they can't have him in there. He's a total liability. And Marcus Mariota, and that's it. It's over. He's not going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. Might there be a point where Marcus Mariota, 5 years down the line, is a veteran backup because he's great in the quarterback room, he's a great clipboard holder, awesome for the coaches to have around, shows you how to work hard, supports the young guy. That could totally be Mariota. He's that type of great guy. And then young quarterback goes down, starter goes down with injury, Mariota thrust in there, maybe has a good offensive line and, you know, steers them to this kind of comeback player of the year, 9-7 season where all seemed lost in his career. I could see that. But week in, week out, season in, season out, Marcus Mariota being your starting quarterback, it's not going to happen. Nope. It's not going to happen because it's so bad. It's not something that's fixable. It's not something that's fixable. He's just that bad. And he's gotten this far because he's a great guy and you want to root for him and you chose him high, so you've got this investment in him. Forget it. I mean, I don't know. You want to give that guy a chance, but if you're trying to win football games here, Mraz, is there any way? I mean, I don't care how bad Ryan Tannehill is. How could he possibly be worse than what Mariota trots out there?
Ryan Tannehill has to be the starting quarterback for the Titans going forward. Has to. How do you know that he won't have a rebirth in your offense? He was still a first-round pick himself. Mark, we know what Marcus Mariota is with the Titans now.
Okay, but is this more about you think Tannehill could be good in this system or more about just that Mariota is such trash?
Well, I think it's about both. Mariota's proved to be trash, and maybe Mariota goes somewhere like Tannehill now is with Tennessee, and maybe it just works for him somewhere else. that could happen. I still think ultimately they probably stink with either, but how many times are you going to like head into brick wall with Marcus Mariota and know what this looks like? You sign Ryan Tannehill for a reason, right? That's a pretty good backup quarterback to have. You're not getting anything out of your quarterback position. Give him a chance to play and see what happens. You have receivers like Corey Davis. Let's go.
Out of all of the devastating playoff losses Andy Reid has suffered, is losing, was it 21-3 lead at home to Mariota? Is that actually, in retrospect, the worst playoff loss?
Probably is, and it was probably the worst playoff loss for the Titans because it made them believe they had a franchise quarterback as well.
I think it was 21-3, and Mariota at Arrowhead led back.
I'm pretty sure that was your Saturday 4:30 special as well on Wild Card Weekend.
The Titans won that game and then ended up going to Foxborough and getting shredded.
Oh, that was it. And that was a Saturday night game. Unwatchable disaster.
In the long line of January embarrassments for Andy Reid, letting Marcus Mariota come back from a 21-3 lead on the road might be number one.
Well, we forget Alex Smith was the quarterback there. We tried to treat Alex Smith like gold in Kansas City.
Still, you can't lose to Mariota in the playoffs.
No.
Can't do it.
Can't even have Mariota in the playoffs.
Can't do it. When we come back here on the show, we got your cut line, the story that did not make the cut. St. Louis Cardinals, just go home now. I mean, honestly, it's just too humiliating. We'll talk about it coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Value, big upside.
Hey, good morning, DA. First off, I want to say I'm really loving you on Instagram. Loving your posts.
We've had some Twitter affairs here and there.
And videotaping on YouTube and Facebook.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
All of those social media outlets, a good way to connect with the DA show, including my trip to Clemson, is available on my Instagram stories. So follow me there, at Damon Amendo, and I'll be releasing a Nomad episode, my digital travel series on YouTube for my weekend in Clemson, which was just awesome, just amazing. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Jim is in Louisiana and asked, DA, this weekend was the huge Tiger win we were all hoping for. What do you think? Do the Tigers have what it take to win the national championship? Well, that win over Florida was a hugely impressive one. And it was hugely impressive because LSU's defense wasn't great, but didn't need to be. And to win big games over the years, LSU has always had to play good defensively. And ultimately, they got that pick late, which kind of sealed the win. But you now have to counter their haymakers, not vice versa. LSU was always a counterpuncher. LSU was not going to make big offensive plays. LSU was going to play great defense, run the football as much as possible, and, you know, kind of strangle you 17-13. That was going to be the way they could line up and beat you. And now you've got to chase them. You've got to answer them blow for blow because of Joe Burrow, Brady's offense, and what that change has been in Baton Rouge. And the way that they played in that game was attack, attack, attack. And that's just never been LSU, ever. So, yes, LSU can win a national championship. And, yes, this is their best shot at taking over supremacy from Alabama because you can't out-Alabama, Alabama. You are not going to be able to week in, week out, play good enough defense and run the football well enough to keep the ball out of their dynamic playmakers' hands because they've opened up their offense. And we see what Tua's done the last couple of seasons before that, what Jalen Hurts is able to do. They've opened their offense up So LSU is going to have to figure it out. And they've got it, and they've got the quarterback, and Burrow is a Heisman Trophy candidate, and Burrow has onions, big ones. And the fact that LSU did that against a very good Florida defense says a lot. And I keep talking about this, and it's a small thing, but it's a big thing. The fact that Ed Orgeron does not have ego about this, he doesn't need to be the one that says, see who I hired, or see what my offense is doing, or see what my quarterback's doing, that he has the humility to not need that validation has allowed this marriage to work. And LSU is crazy dangerous. And yeah, they can win national championship. Absolutely. And this game against Bama is going to be a freak show night. I can't wait. Let's get to the stories that did not make the cut.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
So would you say that the Cardinals want to keep playing in the series or just want to go home now? They got two games at home in St. Louis against the wild card Washington Nationals and nearly get no hit in both. Anibal Sanchez, I could see Scherzer. I could see Strasburg. I mean, the fact that it's Anibal Sanchez who's got a no-hitter into the eighth inning of a DS game, of a CS game, rather, is just so embarrassing. And their at-bats are so weak. I mean, they just have no confidence in doing anything at the plate against the Nats. And how crazy is this whole thing that the moment that the Nationals got rid of Bryce Harper, they're going to go to the World Series? I don't see there's any way that the Cardinals are going to come back from down 0-2 the way that it just looked, going to D.C. now for three. They've got game three tonight. I mean, obviously, if the Nats get this one, it's game, set, match. They'd be up 3-0. But, I mean, for the Cardinals, forget even winning tonight's game. Can you just string together a couple of hits? Can you make sure that you're not no hit beyond, like, the seventh inning? Like, let's just try to make sure you guys get a hit or two in the first two or three innings so at least we're not on no hit watch the entire day. I mean, both games, you're like, Nationals carrying a no-hitter into the seventh. Nationals carrying a no-hitter into the eighth. How far can they go? Like, this is Don Larson, Roy Halladay stuff, and Anibal Sanchez is doing it to you guys, and then you back it up in game two and nearly get no-hit again? Puke Fest USA from the Redbirds.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And maybe that's the reason Cardinals fans didn't show up for last Monday's game, and there was 2,000 empty seats for that one. Maybe that's the reason that they knew this team's actually not that good. The Georgia Bulldogs get sunk over the weekend because they played a horrendous brand of football against South Carolina. And now South Carolina is having to apologize for tearing up the bushes at Sanford Stadium. You know, they play between the hedges over there, and Muschamp goes crazy because, well, Muschamp's kind of a crazy person himself. And the Gamecocks are all ripping up the bushes and putting it in their mouth and taking pictures of it. I mean, look, I'd like to say the Gamecocks should act like they've been there before, but they haven't, frankly. So I guess if you don't know how to handle yourself after a big win like that at Georgia. But this one is less about South Carolina. Yeah, I think it's kind of a bad look to be ripping up the hedges after this win. But I think the big thing is for Georgia, woof. And Jake Fromm, double woof. And I don't mean that because of their Bulldogs. That was a gross game throughout. And they almost got bailed out. I mean, had Rodrigo Blankenship made that field goal and pushed it again, they'd have a chance to actually win a game they didn't belong in and deserve winning. I mean, Georgia got what it deserved there. They were supposed to lose. The good news for Georgia is that they're not out of the college football playoff. They still control their own destiny. If they win the SEC East, if they beat Florida, the world's largest outdoor cocktail party, if they go to the SEC title game and they have Bama or LSU or Auburn or whoever that they're going to be playing, and they win that game, a one-loss SEC champ that beats Bama or LSU is not staying home for the holidays. They're going to the college football playoffs. So it's still on the table for what Georgia wants to accomplish. But you can't play that poorly at home in a conference game and have us still believe that you've got what it takes to be able to beat those great teams. That was a real whoa moment, and that's a really bad Jake Fromm moment, because Fromm has been so good in so many big games, and that was a small game, and he was really bad in it.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Penn State had a great win. And it's great because Penn State didn't have to outscore Iowa to do it. Penn State actually played some defense themselves and did it on a on the road in a tough place to play. And Penn State had come into that game averaging nearly 500 yards per game and crazy yards and crazy points. And they were able to kind of outmaneuver and do enough to beat a good Iowa team. There's nobody in the Big Ten that can challenge Ohio State aside from Wisconsin and Penn State. And had Penn State lost this game at Iowa, you might have to question Penn State as well. But that's an important win by James Franklin's guys. And I think, you know, Michigan's not in that category. We can't put them there. Wisconsin is. Ohio State still drives the bus right now in the Big Ten. But that Penn State-Ohio State game later on in the season is going to be a potential college football playoff elimination game. And assuming Wisconsin gets to the Big Ten championship game, the Big Ten championship game is going to be a game as well. And Penn State and Wisconsin are holding up their end of the bargain in the Big Ten and not just letting Ohio State run away with the whole thing.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And Dabo Swinney has said that his backup kicker is going to start against Louisville this upcoming weekend after BT Potter missed a short, chippy field goal right before halftime. And that is a head coach that is taking the little things, even in a conference season where they're going to blow out everybody probably the rest of the way, and saying this is about later on. And that's why he went to Trevor Lawrence yesterday, or last season rather, instead of Kelly Bryant, to win a national championship. And that's what he's going to do here. It's a blowout win. Dabo can just be happy that they won by 5 touchdowns or whatever against Florida State. He was out for blood yesterday or Saturday because he knew they had dropped out of the top spot and people were questioning whether they were as good as the preseason hype would indicate. And this was a statement, hey, everybody's got to be held accountable. And even a chip shot missed field goal could get us beat when it matters, and we're not taking that chance.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And he trashed Potter. I mean, absolutely lit into him going into halftime. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. Cowboys fans aren't happy after yesterday, including Charles in Alabama.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Charles is next up. He's in Alabama.
Man, I ain't doing too good, man. I can't take Jason Garrett no more, man. I don't have enough. It's over, man. 10 years of the same thing over and over and over.
4-6, 6-8, 8-2.
And people saying, well, the guys need to play out there on the field. Your team is a reflection of you. It's that simple. Jimmy Johnson said, as long as you're making tacos, I love you. As soon as you don't make no tacos, I don't love you no more.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
As long as you're making tacos, I love you. As soon as you don't make no tacos, I don't love you no more. This is the mentality he needs to have. All this campfire stuff, I tell you one thing he is consistent of. Clapping and spitting. You sure enough need to get out the way of that. Because I don't have enough of it. I don't have enough of it. The Dallas Cowboys fans have put up with mediocrity for 20-something years.
It's 100 years ago you're talking about. Things have changed.
Well, it is time to move on from Jason Garrett. I'm pretty sure he is a good guy, good family man, good friend. But he's not a good coach. You need to let him go right now and promote Richardson.
Who?
Or either Kellen Moore, the head coach. and let's move on. Because you're not winning Sunday night. I just want to tell Jerry Jones right now on the radio, let me explain something to you, Jerry. You ain't winning Sunday night.
You need everyone to know about your emotions. I mean, get serious.
This over. You got to make a move. Now I want to hear what you got to say about that.
Great phone call, Charles. Vic Fangio don't know where the tacos are made. Suddenly, last 2 weeks, he making tacos.
Jimmy Johnson said, as long as you making tacos, I love you.
Former teammate Zach Brown said he don't make tacos. Kirk Cousins reads it, stops making them tacos.
As soon as you don't make no tacos, I don't love you no more. Jimmy Johnson said, as long as you making tacos, I love you.
So stupid.
Epic fail, you loser.
Zach. Is why you fail.
Epic fail.
DMO tweets, best soundbite I've ever heard. Also the motto in which I plan to live the rest of my life. Hashtag, as soon as you ain't making tacos, I don't love you no more. You make them tacos, I love you. You stop making them tacos, I don't love you no more. Think that'll get some run here on the DA show for the rest of eternity? All right, that'll do it for us this morning here on the DA Show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of The Dot. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the wheels of steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan at WatchDA.com, the wizard of WatchDA. And thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Tomorrow, Kyle Turley in studio, Iron Eagle, and a Trash Tuesday, the mothership disconnects.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.